You've entered the Kill Zone.
The Kill Zone.
Frontline Gaming presents the Kill Zone Podcast. Real talk for competitive Kill Team 40K. Tactics. Strategy. And news you need to know from some of today's top players. Tune in every other week for brand new episodes of the Kill Zone Podcast.
You're listening to the Killzone Podcast on the Frontline Gaming Network. This podcast is your home for real talk for competitive kill team. My name's Chris. Some folks call me Beerinid, and I'm joined by Emmanuel Mitsinikos from Strategic Advantage on YouTube. You should go subscribe right now. We've got a great show coming up for you today.
Today marks our last episode of the season, and it's my time to say goodbye to you with this final episode of me as co-host. It's been a great year, and we look back on the amazing things that have happened in Kill Team as well as looking towards the future today.
That's right, so stay tuned because all that and more is coming your way. Pay some bills with these messages.
The holiday season is almost over, but Mooney the Monkey has one last thing to say.
Whoa, I'm just starting to learn, Monkey, and that was a lot all at once. Do you get that, Emmanuel?
Oh, he's just saying... What the heck are you asking me for? You know the drill. Santa's Act 22 is still in effect.
Oh, right. If you're into all the bits and bobs available from popgoesthemonkey.com, there's still time to get in on that free shipping before the end of the year.
Go grab some great upgrade bits for Horus Heresy in 40K and full models like the Otomari Militia and Otomarian Guard. I, for one, have my eye on the Freebooter-inspired t-shirt and hat, but they have all the faction swag no matter what your alliance falls on at popgoesthemonkey.com. And until the end of the year, just enter SantaSack22 at checkout to get free shipping on orders over $100.
And international fans get a nifty discount on that international shipping with this code as well.
New episode, new Orky obsession for me. Big Rona caught my eye. It's a Mega Robo Squig. I have some ideas for a diorama, and this is going to be a great centerpiece for it.
For whatever your heart desires, head to popgoesthemonkey.com and pick up some stuff for you or a friend or a family member as a gift this holiday season. Just enter SantaSack22, SantaSack22, all one word, at checkout for free shipping. SantaSack22 works as a discount on international shipping too for orders over $100.
Thanks again to Pop Goes the Monkey for supporting the podcast.
And this is the end.
It's the end of the pod as I know it, but I'll be fine. Hi, Chris.
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good. Just buckling up for this holiday season that's going on. Already experiencing the fun joys like missing mail packages and things like that, you know?
Oh, lovely.
Yep. Every year we get to have this nice little bit of fun. How about yourself?
I had too much dinner.
Oh,
I am feeling quite overstuffed right now. We coming home from work today, there's this great produce place close to my home that they prepare meals. And you can just go pick up a rotisserie chicken, a roast and all this kind of stuff. And it's actually pretty affordable. Like a whole family meal is like the same as if you were same price as if you were to go out to a restaurant, which is really nice. And I got there and the plan was just to get something simple, and then I saw a shepherd's pie, like family size shepherd's pie, and I can't remember the last time I've had a good shepherd's pie. So I bought that. It was great. I should not go back for seconds, but I went back for thirds. So I am full to the gills with good meaty shepherd's pie goodness. But speaking of boxes and mixing packages, our local waste management company had to abide by some new regulations, and we were very fortunate to always have large item pickup at our home at all times. So if we just had a ton of like Amazon boxes or shipping boxes and stuff like that, just pile them up, fill them with garbage, and they could just throw it in there. But now I have to break down and cram all those boxes into a big recycling bin. So I literally spent 45 minutes the other day breaking down cardboard boxes from all the Christmas presents that have been coming in. But yeah, this is a Kill Team podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've kind of drifted a bit.
No, it's fine. It's the season finale. All the rules are off, right?
Kill Team wise, had a lot of fun reorganizing my space and planning my new teams. I have received a bunch of resin third-party models and bits recently from the store that I used to get from in the past called Wargaming Exclusive or Alternative Mini on Etsy. And I've always had my eye on this big mech that they have that's like a paraplegic big mech. He's got his feet are dangling.
Okay.
So definitely in a weird way as if he like can't use them. But he's supported by this big mechanical harness exosuit. And he's got this big mechanical arm that's coming off the side with a big staff. And then another mechanical arm with a gun. It looks really cool. And I ordered it over a month ago and it finally arrived not too long ago. Just because they're based out of the Ukraine and politics. Mm. But but it finally arrived and it's a perfect like Chronomancer or Psychomancer proxy.
Oh, cool.
Because it's big enough to sell that. It's elevated off the ground. It's got a staff. And it's such like a robotic, like overwhelming robotic kind of unit, like orc model that it really sells all of that. So I got plans for that and plans for making maybe rock stodies with the Goth Rocker and all that kind of stuff. So I got a lot of fun stuff on my hobby bench, and I've just been going through and assembling and having fun with those models. How about you?
Just got some paint on what's it called, Legion project today.
Nice. Yeah, you mentioned that a couple episodes ago. That's the Star Wars Legion box that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. So just going through priming those guys. Other than that, just been, you know, doing busy stuff as usual. Haven't had a chance to do too much hobby.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Did you do the building for those models as well, or did he?
No, thank goodness. Oh man. that was kind of the deal. Was it was like, you know, I can help you paint, but I can't do mold lines and assembly. Like, if you'll handle that stuff, I'll do the rest. Mm-hmm. You know, airbrush takes care of the rest. But
yeah, because I was going to talk to you about that, because the mold lines are almost non-existent on those models. They got some great casts for the Star Wars Legion stuff. Mm-hmm. In the ones that I've assembled in the past, well, they started out using like a really soft plastic that was absolutely horrendous, low detail, and the mold lines were just kind of like this very soft, flappy kind of thing that you had to carve away. You couldn't just scrape it away. My stormtroopers took me a long time just to build. But the newer models that I got a lot of experience with on the Imperial Special Forces, they're on a sprue. They're not as tightly packed as a GW, like, super origami sprue that they have.
Yeah.
They're not as tightly packed as that, but the impressive thing about it is that it's a nice hard plastic, like the GW stuff, but the mold lines are very, very thin. Like, you so much as like look at the mold line and it's gone, if it's even there to begin with. So they were actually pretty low stress to build. Not a lot of modification, not a lot of additions to, or not a lot of extra work and cleanup to do on those. It makes me hopeful for Shatterpoint when it comes out, if it's going to be very similar, because I really want to run, I really want to get the Darth Maul and the Mandalorians they've been showing. But I hate the stance for Maul. It's like, it takes up a lot of space. He's holding his double-sided lightsaber out in front of him and it's sticking out to the sides. It's like a very iconic pose for him, but it's not very dynamic. And I don't like him just kind of holding it out in front of him. It doesn't look very threatening. It's a weird stance. So I'm hoping that plastic and those casts are going to be very similar to what I'm used to, what they're doing with Legion. Cause then it'll lend itself to a little bit of reconfiguring.
Hmm. Sounds great. Yeah. And I bet that the new models will be a little bit bigger too, right? Are they going to
Marvel
Crisis Protocol size?
Seems like it. It seems like that's what they're going for. That'll be a bit strange for me to get used to, cause I'm so used to just such a tiny scale. When stuff is small, sometimes you can hide a little bit of stuff in the details. The bigger it gets, the less forgiving it gets. That's why whenever you see like these miniature painting pros paint a bust and do like wet blending and volumetric light effects and all that kind of stuff on a big bust, you know they're the real deal. Because to get to hide a lot of those illusions on a small model, it's a little bit easier to do than on a giant orc face, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what do you think about jumping into it? We got, I think, two segments today, right? Looking back and looking forward?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So why don't you take it away? How have you enjoyed the year, Chris?
Oh, it's been an interesting year. I think, I've gotten to travel for Kill Team this year. Real big highlight for me was going to Baltimore and meeting those guys out there. You know, it was just, they were so welcoming, so open, and they really just made it so stress-free to be out there and everything that I'll owe those guys kind of an eternal gratitude for that trip. It's going to be a fond memory I get to carry for a long time. But, you know, just got to do that kind of stuff. Played a lot of comps, man. A lot of tournaments this year.
Mm-hmm.
I there was more, I think, in quarantine because of the, you know, just we weren't allowed to go outside. Like, all we had was Kill Team on the computer. But, man, it was so many IRL comps this year. Good times.
Yeah, I mean, Kill Team itself, it's just been so exciting to look back at the at this past year, just how much this game has grown. Mm-hmm. Recently, we got news that LVO sold out. It came close to that the previous year. Mm-hmm. Sold out this year, and that's without like a half dozen people coming from Spain. Mm-hmm. That's without me in the comps. I'm not playing in the 2-day tournament this year.
I am not either.
I'll be in the pods. I just bought my tickets today for cool. the pods, so I'll be playing in the Friday pods. I can do 1 day, not 3 days. So that was the bargaining chip I played, and that went over well with the wife. So we're doing that. Cool. But that's without me, and that was even without a lot of people with the initial sellout. That was without a lot of people that were going to go because they were not expecting it to sell out. Mm-hmm. And then Dakota hustled. He got some more tickets out of FLG's grips. They told him that we have priority over X-Wing, which made me happy and sad at the same time because forever a Star Wars fan. But right. it was nice to see that such a big, like well-received game is starting to be, is being recognized as being, we're being prioritized over them with mm-hmm. FLG. And we saw a lot of that throughout the world too. I mean, Spain always had big competitions. And now whenever I talk to Ace and he says, oh yeah, we have a couple smaller tournaments coming up. And I always have to filter that through my brain. It's like when Ace says smaller, he means like 24 to 36 players. That's mm-hmm. his definition of small. And that's a standard for them over there. And that's super exciting. You had like Poland having a record-breaking tournament this year. You have so many people just flocking to play Kill Team. At my LGS, it used to be like, if I was there, I would drive Kill Team. And with me not being there, the Kill Team wouldn't happen. And just this past week, I get a message from from the LGS owner. It's like, hey, when are you coming in? And I'm looking at him. I look down at the baby in my arms. I'm like, no, I wasn't planning on coming in today. Which Thursday used to be the standard Kill Team day there. And he's like, oh, there's people playing Kill Team here. I assumed you organized it. And I was like, no, that's not me. That's the seeds growing in the community and just starting to play. And these were players from Kill Team 2018 who had taken a knee. They got hit real hard by that 1-2 punch of initial release, then commanders. They said, wait, I have to get a commander? I have to do 200 points? Forget that. And they just stopped playing. And these players came back, they played again. One of them already had a Death Guard team, but he got a whole new team. I think he was playing Imperial Guard. So not even just inspired to play the game with the team he already had, he was inspired to play with a whole new team, which was super exciting as well. And just this local community here in Southern California, I couldn't be happier with how it's grown. I mean,
absolutely.
The hustle that you have out of some of the guys out of Gameology, which is a local Pasadena LGS. A local LGS, right? Super local. Anthony, who is a main dynamo driving force out there, like he's got this Kill Team and Coffee event that regularly sees at least a dozen, if not more, players coming by to play Kill Team, which is super exciting. You got the squad game stuff that are just blowing up. I mean, at an LGS, they had a 44-person tournament, that team tournament. That's just... I think I said this in an earlier pod. There was a video game podcast I used to listen to called The Giant Beast Cast. And Vinny, one of the hosts, would always start off every podcast, "This is the best time to be playing video games." And the sentiment was like, it's only getting better. So every time we talk about video games, it's better than the last time we talked about video games. And that's what this year's felt like for Kill Team. It's been super exciting from that, from a community standpoint. And then I've been going on for a long time, but also from the support standpoint, right? It's been overwhelming to see how much love and plastic and debt GW has been pushing our way with this enthusiasm for this new edition. How's it felt like for you with that support?
It's been great because, I mean, this is... We're coming on like 5 years of working towards this, right? Like the whole reason for the podcast, the YouTube channel, all this stuff was have people playing this game. And that's happening now. And I think that it's really interesting to look and see Kill Team as a priority to the company. Just a side project or, you know, something to that effect. But something that, I mean, right now, I think that when you look at balance stuff and whatnot, right? I think that we are... going through more checks and balances and things like that than big 40K. I think that's pretty well known at this point, you know, like we know there's this hard metric that if we're not in it, that they're changing things and stuff like that. It's public knowledge. And it's just kind of so cool to see. It's also really neat to see things like, you know, the golden ticket program and stuff that they just
had. Yeah.
You know, very, very cool.
Yeah. That was our two pods ago.
Yeah.
Two pods ago, where we talked about the Kill Team grand finale that they had in New Mexico, like that. If you were to take 2019 Emmanuel and say, "Hey, you know, Games Workshop is going to actually give out tickets and host their own tournament for all the finalists for all these golden tickets," I would have said, "What are you getting on? What are you smoking? That's whose GW is that? That's not my GW." I would never have believed that. And it's especially interesting when you chat with other veterans of Kill Team from last edition, right? Because we came from an edition quite jaded at the support that we were not getting. I mean, right now it's like 4 weeks after a release and we're getting uppity that where's the next FAQ? Where's the next FAQ? What's going on, right? Where last edition, I think we got an FAQ and then we went over a year without another one. Something insane like that with multiple releases, with so many tournaments, so many busts, up to the point that we had to take on things as a community to try and help improve and round out that game. But now that responsibility is completely out of our hands. And it's so nice to, I mean, you talk about us compared to Big 40K. And that balance and that support and the checks and balances that we go through. I remember that the episode of Signals that we were on, one of the Frontline Gaming regular shows that they have. We were on there with Kicker and we were talking about it. And in the green room beforehand, we were just chit-chatting about balance and how even this game is, even though there is a spread, some teams are better than others, that delta is very narrow. And when we talked about our problem factions with a 59% win rate, like it was as if we were speaking a different language. He was like, "That's good. 59 is good." And we complain about it. It's like, you know, grass is always greener. Like we complain about something on our side, but they're looking at us. I'm just like, "Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Right. I wish I wish our problem faction was 59 and not like 70%+ win rate, right? Mm-hmm. It's just so great to see that, and so great to see that attention. And that attention, not only that attention just in conversations, but you mentioned that LVO sold out twice. I accidentally sped by that. I meant to acknowledge that, because that's so cool, because they got more tickets, sold out again. And that's because they recognize, oh, wow, there is demand for this. And the big tournaments are the ones that need to see that, right? Like, we know in the community, we know the community is growing. We know we see new faces. But at a big institution like Frontline Gaming, right, who runs so many tournaments all over the place, right, for them to see that turnout and representation of so many folks showing up to play the game in the tournament, not just pods, not a narrative thing for fun on the side, like genuinely coming for the big comp, that's what creates the waves that draw a lot of attention. And that just means next year it's going to be planned for bigger. Yeah. And I only see the game getting more and more attention as the years go on.
Yeah, Kill Team has always been the surprise for people. You know, they make this game in 2018, or they start this thing, which might as well have been a new game. It wasn't a new edition, even though there was a thing called Kill Team. And they sold a year's worth of boxes that they had printed in 6 weeks, right? And it's just things like that. But they were already sucked into this design and, you know, fulfillment process of what they had planned for the next X amount of time. You know, and so it was a surprise there. It's been a surprise for all these, you know, LGS people and things like that, I feel, too. I think that it's probably been monetarily very successful for GW with this new edition, you know, because look at the amount of things like bespoke models that need to be created for a 40K team versus, you know, a Kill Team team. Mm-hmm. And then there's also, you know, now they're getting into big events again and things of that nature. You know, which one's easier to follow, stuff like that. So I just think this game's always been surprising for people. Now we got FLG, who, you know, last year LVO was big, but I think we did have a TO jump in as a ringer to make like the 60 or whatever it was, right? Whereas this year, now it's sold out twice. So it's just this snowball thing that is keeping people guessing and leaving people, you know, not knowing what to expect, it feels like sometimes, or the uninitiated, you know, or when people are first hearing about this game or getting involved with it and stuff like that. I mean, I have people that were playing a little bit last edition that got out that are now interested in coming into second edition, and they're surprised to hear that there's regular tournaments and things like that at this point. You know, like, no, every month there's pretty much something decent sized in this city, not necessarily, oh, you got to travel to, you know, whatever, Bosnia to go play a tournament, which is,
I wonder how
far
big
Bosnia's
team is.
What is the meta in Bosnia?
Yeah. If you're listening in Bosnia, send us a message.
Insert Bosnia far away place.
Chris.
Right.
Is that that the furthest country you could think of?
Yes. I was just thinking, you know, what's a far away country? But no, right here in this city, you can go play a tournament this month probably. And so it's just, you know, very cool.
And I want to touch on what you said about GW and doing well for them money-wise, because some people might grumble at that. And there's this sentiment of just like, oh, GW overcharging, oh, GW taking advantage and all that. I hate those arguments, right? Because GW doesn't need Kill Team to be successful. They could pour a lot of effort into other IPs that are already got a huge fan base and spend that development and artist time on developing new models, the time to create new casts and molds, the warehouse time, the warehouse space, which is super expensive, the shipping, all that kind of stuff. They could spend that on other IPs. But the fact that Kill Team does well for them and incentivizes them to continue to do it, and the passion's there for them to keep supporting it, that's all important. Because, I mean, we want to think of corporations as friends sometimes, right?
But they are beholden to their accountants, their shareholders, if they have them, and they need to be doing things that are wise, that help the company grow and move forward. And Kill Team clearly is doing that for them with all the support that we've been getting. And that's important, because by supporting their support, they support us to keep supporting their support, right? It's symbiotic in a sense. And I'm not saying go and donate money to GWO, poor GW, they need the help. But the reality of it is, like, they exist because we are patrons to the product, and they provide us more product because of that relationship. And that's what allows for the community. That's what allows for the cool teams, the cool rules, the attention to the rules details, which all these updates that are coming out, like, we're not paying for a balance data slate. We're not paying for an FAQ. That's all bundled into the support that we get in this living game, this living service that, like, Xbox Live, you have to pay a month, annual fee to get that support and get the patches and get that connectivity. Like, you kind of have to think about those parallels of where all that comes from and where all that effort kind of meets you.
Absolutely.
Back, right.
Go ahead. Yeah. It just goes back to that surprising thing, right? The surprises of Kill Team. Yet another one is, I think Kill Team players have, you know, the majority have overwhelmingly spoken with Habit, that they are not interested in becoming big 40K players. Right. I think that that was part of something from last edition. You know, as much as I hate to admit it now on reflection, looking back, I think that it was something that was meant to farm people and interest into that edition. But you look at this new take that they've done on the game, it's completely divorced from it. You know, edition, I was able to go in and start playing Big Hammer after, you know, a long, long time of not even looking at it, after Pariah Nexus and things like that. And it's like, oh, I knew what AP4 was, this hits on this, you know, blah, blah, blah. The rail rifle is the same in this game versus the other game. Now it's completely different. So, you know, there is just no real interest from the Kill Team players to go into Big Hammer. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what they do with that now that it is unknown, you know. Yeah.
And also the models and the rules that they're giving us, right? Like, Corsairs, you can run them with an elf army, but they're not really a great pick. There's more meta picks. And by buying Corsairs, it's not like you're growing towards an army, right? It's more of like an anecdotal thing that you can do. I mean, with me, I have two commandos teams because I'm nutty. For like a 1,000-point team, I would bring both my kill teams. It's not the best thing to do, but it would be me telling a story of my kill teams joining a wall and then going back and doing their own thing on the side, right? It wouldn't be, I didn't build these two teams to have two commando units for my Big Hammer team. So kind of going along with what you said.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, it was just so apparent last edition, right? Because it's like, okay, two troops choices.
Exactly.
That's your kill team. And then, oh, okay, here's commanders, two HQ choices. Like, oh, all of a sudden we have a combat patrol or whatever.
Yeah. And not the case anymore. Nope. Absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of two kill teams, one thing that I, for myself, looking back on this year, that I'm super happy about is the time I spent hobbying and my personal growth as a painter. Just the other week, I hopped on a bandwagon that a lot of miniature artists on Instagram are doing. And you know, it's funny I use that word. I used to not call myself that. I used to not call myself an artist with this stuff. I would say I paint my kill team models. I would divorce myself from the creative side of it, almost diminishing my talents in a way. A little self-deprecation there, I suppose, but maybe to not set myself up for disappointment. Who knows? The brain is a weird psychological wasteland, but I digress. I never really felt of myself in that way, and I never partaked in this kind of year in review where face of the artist and some of their most proud models around them and kind of like this Brady Bunch kind of thing. And I did that a week or so ago on my Instagram, and it was really well received and it really made me proud. And it got me thinking of a lot of my personal growth in the hobby aspect and the painting aspect from this year. I mean, I practiced and finally nailed wet blending, doing things like heat bloom, doing things like transitions on cloth and stuff like that, using wet blending, punching up my highlights, getting to a three-layer highlight, especially with orc skin and on certain metallics as well. Doing a better job with weathering for more realistic weathering. When I have a whole display of all my orcs that I've ever painted. It's one of those glass shelf things that my wife got me for my birthday over the summer. And looking through it, it's almost like I could see the transition points in my painting skill. Mm. And then I look at what happened since the summer of this year, where I sat down, I said, you know what, let's learn some proper techniques. Let's really drill down on some of these techniques. And I could just see, it's almost like a different painter came in and said, here's some of my models to be inside your case. And I mean, freehand checker patterns. I never thought I would do checker patterns on orcs, right? I never thought I would have the patience or the wherewithal or the steadiness or the precision to be able to do that. And scratch building, experimenting with plastic card and doing that kind of stuff. I never thought I would have the creativity to paint outside the lines that way, right? Right. And a lot of these things this past year, it's just been it's made me very proud of the team that I then bring, and proud of what I've accomplished in this state. And a lot of that fueled, honestly, by this whole motivation to say, okay, hobby track, I'm going to get number one there. That's something that I can drill on my own. I don't have to worry about dice rolls. I don't have to worry about a four-round tournament. That's a personal goal for myself that I know is going to bring me happiness and joy. And let me go after that. And every time I get a score, it's a little bit higher. And I go up to Dakota and I say, what am I missing? And he said, well, you could do some stuff like this. I was like, all right, back to the drawing board. Going to do some of that. And it was a great motivational kind of thing. And looking back on the year, I don't regret. There was a lot of frustrating moments. There was a lot of difficult moments and a lot of walls that I had to break through and push down. Mm-hmm. But back in September, I saw something on Instagram when I was getting really frustrated with wet blending and really frustrated with trying to figure out my orc skin recipe. And I saw this quote on Instagram that said, walls aren't there to break through. They're there for you to lean on and take a rest. And I was thinking, I'm hitting this wall and I'm trying to white knuckle and push myself through this wall. Let me exhale. Let me just woosah through this moment. Let me just take a step back. Let me relax, try something different, and then come back to it. And I've hit so many walls that I've just leaned on since then, since September. And I've noticed that my painting was more enjoyable, more consistent, and a lot more progress, steady progress in my painting. And reflecting back on the year, it's just I don't regret a moment of frustration. I don't regret a moment of painting back over a model or repriming a model to start over again when I completely botched something. It was all well worth it, and I'm super proud of that. And Absolutely. It just motivates me more to, because I've never done non-metallic metal. I used to say I'd never freehand checker patterns, and I did it on over half of my models in my kill team right
now. Crazy.
And yeah. I used to say I'll never do non-metallic metal. That's what I'm. That or spoilers. Looking forward, new goals for next year. Right.
Cool. Absolutely. I think it's been a really good journey with the podcast as well. You know, when we're about looking back, just things that were covered. The things I'm proud of is hopefully the value that we've been able to present to people, because that's been a guiding light from the beginning. Is like, if I can do it, you can do it. Help them win more games, help them to believe in themselves, help them, you know, through a block of some kind. Oh, I'm struggling with this team. And, you know, what do I do? Or something to that effect. How do I get better? And I think that there's just been so many cool episodes this year, you know, talk about net lists, learning the rules versus, you know, what is it? Knowing versus using. Talked about starting a local kill team meta. You know, how impactful is that? If somebody's going through, we gave you a step-by-step process of how to do what we've done multiple times now, because pre and post quarantine, right?
Yeah.
So like, this is something that multiple people have put into action and had the ability to go out and have regular games now in a kill team desert, you know, where it had been before, you know, no games, soulmate factions, you know, what, like the idea of you know, playing what kind of works for you, not necessarily what's great and stuff like that. Yeah. But we
the
all
whole
have
Timmy Jommy Spike stuff,
right? That like we have different
right
aptitudes.
Into that. Yeah,
I mean, like look at it like this: are all skills equally valuable? I don't know. And are all skills equally applicable to every team? You know, some need you to see the future more. Do you have that skill? Some, you know, want you to kind of preempt what the opponent's doing. Some need you to follow a flow chart maybe and not deviate when you see like, oh, here's a chance to get ahead, something like that. So it's just like, I don't know, so cool to cover that, you know. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, what is it, weighted gi. That was a cool mm-hmm. episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get try like make things harder on yourself so that when you actually go to a tournament or something, maybe some things are easier. Mm-hmm. Just like, I don't know, lots of good stuff in this this here season.
Yeah, and the pod grew so well. It's so fun to look at the metrics and see stuff, and like being a podcast that every other week we still produce like the whole Spotify and review, like mm-hmm. it's really fun to see those metrics. So many people were sharing with me towards the end of the year when, like, I think it was like late November, the Spotify Wrapped started to come out, and they were sending me screenshots of Killzone Podcast being their number one podcast or being in their mm-hmm. top five, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of podcasts out there.
Yes.
And people consume a lot of content. And to be anywhere close to someone's top 10 podcast, top five, even number one, that was so humbling and so heartwarming to see. And like, there was giving us statistics, like you shared with me, like one of the statistics they gave us was we were in the top 5% of Spotify podcasts.
Right. Like it's all podcasts globally, top 5%.
Absolutely insane.
Who I had no idea.
Yeah.
Right. Till they sent that. Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
We see the numbers as they come in every week, and we see the comments, and I get the DMs. I'm sure you do too, of people interacting and people engaging with it. And it's just, it was so nice to see how far we reached just talking in our home studios into a mic for an hour and a half every other week, you know? It was great growth. Well, speaking
of
growth,
great sharing that with all of you guys, you know, thank you to all the listeners. So let's talk about looking forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One step ahead of the other, right?
Right. There you go.
Yeah. One step ahead of the other. Immediately forward is LVO, right? That's right around the corner. I'm excited that I decided to go this year, even if it is just for the one day. Mm-hmm. In my mind, LVO has always been like an all or nothing kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to go, I'm going to play and everything, or I'm not going to go, what's the point? And the reality of it is being in Southern California and LA, where it's a car drive away. It's a long drive, but it's not undoable. It's not undoable. That's so not a word. What am I trying to say, Chris? It's not impossible to do.
Not impossible. I think that's
sure.
Grammar.
Sure. We'll go with that. No, forget that. It's not undoable. I'm leaning in on this.
Okay. We're doing it.
It's not undoable. And, I'm just so excited to see all the folks showing up, to wish everyone luck on the next morning right before I head out to see old friends, make new ones, all that kind of stuff. I'm really excited about it. And one thing I've never done is I've never had time to come for the pods. Mm-hmm. I've always come in on the Friday, and I might hang out with people while they're playing pods, but never play for the pods. And I always hear about how fun the pods are, how it's almost like this relaxed calm before the storm of the big tournament. Some people bring funny lists. Like, I remember Alex in the past brought his all blue man group, all electro priests lists in the previous edition. Some people bring lists that they're not taking for the main tournament, but they want to get some tournament experience with, just to see how they're going to do. I remember another last edition thing, Luke, he's no longer in the local area, but still in California. He loved his berserkers, and he brought an all berserker, corn berserker list that he called Will It Blend. Real fun stuff that people do for the pods. And it's still matched play. It's still competitive, but it seems that everyone lets their hair down a little bit for the pods, and that's totally the vibe I'm looking for right now. And I'm really excited to head there and to play on the pods day. And remember how I said in the past that if I don't end up going to LVO, I might not score enough points to keep number one on the hobby track. And that's because points are scaled depending on how large the event is. And with LVO being as big as it is, other folks that are very close, like close in the running for number one at the end of the season, like Justin Whopper, excellent painter, excellent diorama that he has for his worm blade. Like, I'm pretty sure he would take number one away from me with all the extra points, but also just the fact that he's going to nail it with what he brings. He's going to have a run for his money now, because I'm going to be bringing my display case with music and lights and my orcs. And it's going to be fun, but it's going to be my last chance to secure that number one for the end of the season for Hobby Track. So I'm really excited for that.
Very cool. Yeah, speaking of LVO, I'm going to be there. I'm not going to be playing in the tournament. I'm going to be doing play-by-play. So if you guys listen to the stream, you'll hear old Beer's phlegmy voice casting, telling you
hopefully
what
not phlegmy. Don't promise that.
Yeah. No, yes. I was trying to think of something, you know, self-deprecating about the voice, but yeah, it's... You'll hear my overly enthusiastic quip type voice. I don't even know what they call it. Clip, I guess they would say. The way of speaking. I don't even know. My diction.
your what? Know. At least yes, it's on audio only.
Yes, you'll hear it on the stream. So look forward to that.
You need to get an app on your phone. Oh, I think I actually have one. Let's see how quickly I could pull this up. Oh, we're doing it live, Chris. You need to get a horn on your phone, so that way anytime you get some big ultra mega play, you can hype it up like morning zoo radio.
No way. I'm going to do it right when things are the most tense and people need the most focus, you know? Like
you just go right up next to Chris.
Right next to him.
You just like, so this is a pretty critical move. Wah, 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 and then just go sit down. Don't even acknowledge the douchery that just happened.
Yeah, just act like nothing happened.
I like
just
that.
Point to somebody else and looked confused.
Yeah,
or yeah, something to that effect. Yeah, it's gonna be fun. And after that, I think I will be kind of just like riding off in the sunset for a little bit. You know,
oh, figuring right? out.
Yeah. I mean, you filled some big shoes with this here podcast. So, I mean, editing and co-host and everything. So, I mean, there's been a couple people that reached out, but I would have to think about how that's all going to work, you know, make new content, things like that. And to be honest, it's just like the time is a thing, right? Like, you know, firsthand, I mean, one of the reasons that, that you're going to be taking, you know, a step aside is there's only so much time, right? And
time is quite finite.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, when there's only a little bit of time, sometimes it might be nice to actually play a game or something. You know?
Yeah. That segues really well into one of my other things looking forward this year. I don't know about you, but I ultimately did get a little overwhelmed by the quantity of releases. A little bit of it is fear of missing out. A little bit of it is the excitement of one thing, then getting overshadowed by the excitement of the next new shiny. But in 22, it almost felt like a race for me to try and keep up with all the teams that I wanted to play. I ended up only playing two teams more than a couple times, right? Obviously, Orc Commandos. I think I'm like over 200 games with those guys now. A couple dozen games with Void Dancers and that, and then just a handful with other teams, right? And I say this as I look at this, I have one of those big like 15 inch by 8 inch dice trays that was part of a recording rig that we were using back in early days of Strategic Advantage, And that's where I have my pile of shame all lined up. And it is full of half-painted or unpainted models for 4.5 kill teams. And those are the ones that are assembled and primed. And then I have behind that a mountain of sprue. And it's just a lot. And my big theme this year is I'm going to focus on the quality over the quantity. As I was sharing, like, September, having that realization of the leaning on the wall instead of trying to break through it, taking my time, not worrying about the mistakes, not worrying about the speed bumps, not worrying about repeating, and just enjoying the process. That's where I found that hobby love again. And focusing on taking one team to a standard that I'm proud enough to show and display, instead of getting a team done to get it on the table, I'll be happier in the end with that. And that's what I really, and if it means that I paint 2 kill teams over 12 months, you know, so be it. I don't have a timeline. A deadline. That's what I meant to say, not timeline. I don't have a deadline. I just have my own standards and my own metric of happiness, right, that I need to look at. And that's going to be a big shift for me. And finish that Into the Dark Terrain. That's the other part of the hobby. I need to get that done because I've been using it with it all sprayed with just the single color shift. But I need to zenithal with a contrast color shift to give it some more pop. And that's back on the hobby sticks to get that final zenithal done. But that's one big shift I want to do with the hobby side of it this year, and I'm really excitedly anticipating that.
Yes.
And then narrative. I miss narrative. I haven't played enough narrative. I played a lot of it up until first few months of the year, and then that kind of fell away for just kind of match play competitive games. And Alex, I don't know if he's doing this on his own or if he's doing it with another person or group of people, but he shared with me plans for a big narrative campaign in the Southern California area, kind of closer to around where he is, but he's not too far. I'll be getting an electric vehicle pretty soon, so that's going to make traveling around Southern California a lot easier in both time as well as in the pocket. So driving down to his zone to play more narrative games, I'm very excited for. I really liked how absurd my Red Skull Commandos got with all those narrative games, and the Brew Guzzlers Buccaneers need some of that love too. I need a Scragus Chop on my big knob, on my boss knob. I need Death from Above on my Rocket Boy. I need these things, Chris. I need them. So playing a bunch of narrative, diving into that Into the Dark narrative as well. Real stuff that I'm looking forward to.
Cool. So anything else going on with changes coming up?
Yeah. I have a new project, which sounds a little kind of counterintuitive where I say it's like, oh, I'm stepping down from Killzone, not doing podcasts anymore. But this has actually been something that Alex and I have talked about for years. We've always not felt that Strategic Advantage really fit YouTube. We make video, sure. Yeah, right. The videos do fit YouTube because you click play and then noise and visuals happen. But YouTube doesn't want that type of content. YouTube wants a different type of release. They want a different type of thumbnail. They want a different type of title with all caps and very jarring words, and there's a lot of stuff that the algorithm wants.
A complex topic that may require over 10 plus minutes of
yes. Yeah, it's not something that is very YouTube friendly. I also, fun fact, whenever I talk about the YouTube algorithm, I always in my mind's eye I'm looking at the Great Unclean One. That's how I imagine the YouTube algorithm. So
that's how I see the comment section, funnily enough.
Not our comment section. All you folks.
No,
are
not ours. But no, the Bearded YouTube channel.
I love you all.
Yes,
but
I go on there and look after a little bit of just like, I can't look at that for a little bit. Go away. Come back. It's like, that's why. Okay. Yep.
But
spent like 7 hours on a day off trying to make this happen that I could have spent with kids. But, you know, it's thanks. I was only trying to help. And people are like, that's so obvious. Why would you put that? It's like, ugh, like, oh my God, I worked so hard to behave.
So yeah. In light of all that, and in light of our difficult schedules of trying to find each other, free time where it overlaps and all that stuff, we decided to actually do a blog. There's not enough space like that for Kill Team, for good positive quality content in that space, right? Mm-hmm. And we're putting that together. Hopefully it should be releasing around or just after this episode goes live. It will very much be a work in progress, so mind the dust. I'd rather get the blog posted and published before it's perfectly pretty, so that way the content can be there and people can start to engage and enjoy and give us some feedback to help us with organizing and prettifying it. But yeah, and interestingly enough, strategicadvantage.blog was not taken.
Hey,
and now it is.
Come on, good job.
Yeah, so that's where Alex and I are going to be having some fun shenanigans. We have a fun way of organizing it. We'll have a new section for when new stuff comes out that interests us that we want to chit chat about. We each have our own section. The Cogboy Cogitations, where Alex gets to talk about all his AdMech stuff, and then Crump and Corner is where I get to talk about all my orc stuff. And then we also have a Hobby and Hang section just to share our fun days out, fun hobby days, fun days grabbing a beer with friends or playing at the local gaming store, all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a fun live diary, news/tactical review of Kill Team. So I'm excited for it. It'll allow me to use downtime at work. Instead of just browsing Instagram, I can put some words on paper and type out an article. It'll be fun. It'll be a fun experiment, and it'll be a great way for me to steal back the lost time in my day to still engage with our awesome community that I'm going to miss so tremendously in stepping down from the podcast. So look out for that. There'll be a link in the show description. I know that because I'm the one that does the show descriptions. I'm excited to hear your guys' feedback and hear if you like it or don't. And if you don't, let me know what you want.
Yeah. So for your listeners, go check that out. And I just, before we close things out, just want to say thank you so much to all the listeners, for the YouTube channel and the podcast, because at this point, I don't know when there'll be more content. And so thank you all for 5 years of sharing 5 years of my life or whatever this is with me. And it's been a blast. And, maybe there'll be more. I have no idea.
TBD.
Yeah.
It's like that meme, the end of JoJo, where they play that roundabout from Roundabout by Yes, the prog rock band. And it says to be continued right at the bottom.
Right on.
But then ... question mark?
Right.
Ooh, suspense.
Yeah. Thank you guys. I hope that it's provided value for you. That's always been the why of doing this. So with that note, I hope you guys are doing well. I hope you guys go succeed in this new year and with this new pack. Go do us both proud. We hope that we planted some seeds that, will help you. And my name's Chris. Just a lot of people know me as Bearded.
And I've been Emmanuel.
Whoa, I said that for the last time.
I've been Emmanuel. You can find me on Instagram at eman.paints. You can find Alex and I on YouTube at Strategic Advantage, and also at strategicadvantage.blog.
Thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Kill Zone Podcast. Your home for real talk for competitive Kill Team. Brought to you by the Frontline Gaming Network. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.